The book of Joshua, chapter number 1. And let me, as you are turning to that passage, mention something that might be helpful as you read your Bible. I know of no better time than just right today to start reading the Bible through. But when you do, let me encourage you to remember two or three things. When you read your Bible, if you can, when you read your Bible, read it aloud. I mean, actually read it. And then as you do that, it's amazing the ear gate and the eye gate and the mouth gate that God has given for His Word to enter into our hearts. You'll know more about your Bible reading it aloud. You'll hear it as you read it. And it'll enter into your ears and into your heart and into your soul. And you'll also read it with your eyes. And the Word of God will enter in through the eye channel. And you'll read it with your mouth. And it'll enter into your mouth, into your system to help you to grow in grace. So let's all start this new year reading the Word of God. You say, well, I can't read much. I can read a little bit. You know, some of you, if you just read a verse, that's more than you read all last year. Huh? Now, we're going to get off on a bad start here. But I tell you, Baptists are the world's worst of getting so busy in doing everything and leaving the most essential things out. All right, Joshua chapter number 1. Want to read verses 1 through 11. Please notice the reading of God's Word. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong, be of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest to observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. For within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. The book of Joshua, very interesting book, a transitional book in the Old Testament. For a text, would you please look carefully at verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of the promise of His presence. The promise of His presence. Joshua was faced with a tremendous responsibility in leading the Israelites over Jordan and into Canaan. It would not be easily accomplished because there were many things that darkened the way. Number one, Moses was dead. Moses was dead. Now, that doesn't affect too much of our thinking today, but had you been an Israelite living in the time this was written, it would have been one of the most disturbing, discouraging, depressing things that one could hear. Moses is dead. Never a military man came to be the equal of this man, Moses. He had almost become an idol to the people. Remember, he had led them from Egyptian bondage. Can you think of one man having the responsibility of taking out 2 million of the population in Egypt and leading them to victory out of Egypt? Moses did that. Moses was their hero. Moses was their leader. And they constantly looked to him. Not only had he led them from Egyptian bondage, but he led them through the Red Sea. When Pharaoh and his soldiers were hard pressed to get to Moses and the children of Israel to do them damage, God opened up the waters of the Red Sea and Moses led them through. Not only did he tell them to go through, he led them through. He was their leader. And the walls of water walled up on either side and Moses led them through on dry ground. It was Moses who led them through the wilderness. If as I enumerate these things, remember Moses is dead. Moses is dead. He had led them through the wilderness. When they were thirsty, he gave them water. When the food supply was necessary, he prayed and God gave them food to eat. It was Moses who gave Israel the law of God, called him up on the mountain and personally gave it to him. It was Moses, my dear friends, who led Israel to build the tabernacle where God could meet with his people. Now, Moses is dead. Have you ever thought about the question, what we're going to do now? For their entire life, Moses had led. Now he's gone. Now he's dead. What a great responsibility on Joshua to take up where Moses left off. And that's what he had to face when God said, Joshua, you're to take the reins now. Moses is dead. Secondly, they were entering into new territory. They knew the wilderness pretty good. They had been in it for a long, long time. But now they were to cross over Jordan and go into Canaan. They had never been there before. But God said, that's the land I'm going to give you. But they hastened. And yet at the same time, they were reluctant because they had never been there before. You know, there's some places that if I were to go, I would certainly go with a great deal of apprehension because I've never been there before. If somebody said, Brother Kosar, are you going to live in Singapore the rest of your life? I believe I'd be a little reluctant about that. I've never been to Singapore in my life. Now, if somebody said, you're going to live in Noonday, Texas, it wouldn't bother me a bit in this world because I live just on the borderline of Noonday, Texas. Going into a place where you've never been before, and yet God said, that's where I want you, Joshua, to lead them. It was a real time of testing for Joshua. And thirdly, they were outnumbered by the enemy. Do you remember when Moses sent the spies, the 12 spies into Canaan to spy out the land, to check the surroundings, to check the population, to check the enemy, and to come back and give him a report? When they came back, you remember they told Moses, we cannot take this place because of the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites. And moreover, we would look like grasshoppers in thy sight. We can't take it. So these factors were very important in discouraging and depressing Joshua. Yet when you come to verses 10 and 11, notice, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, How could he go ahead and do this knowing that it would be very insurmountable, very difficult for him? The reason was he knew this. God promised that the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You've got to hang on to that. You've got to trust that. That whatever you face, God's going to face because he's going to be with you. And the difficulties that you face, you're going to see that God is with you. And so they were ready to go into the land. Now, this morning, I want us to draw a comparative lesson from this as we approach a new year. Because you and I are getting ready to go into a land we've never been to before. You say, well, now I've been living for a long time, but you haven't lived in 2020. And there's not a person here that can tell me with absolute certainty and assurity all the things you're going to have to face in 2020. So it's a time of a need for faith on the part of God's people to know that the Lord will be with us. Back in 1965, if that takes you too far back and gives you a swimmy head, let me tell you who was president. His name was President Lyndon Johnson. And Lyndon Johnson stated at that time that 1965 had the greatest prospect for hope and worldwide peace of any year in human history. And little did he know how wrong that he was. 1965 was a year that several things were highlighted. Communism was rapidly spreading. Number two, there was indifference of the American public. People did not seem to care and be concerned about anything that was happening in that year. In 1965, crime and immorality, it increased everywhere. It was a bad year for crime and immorality. And number four, there was apostasy in the church, and it was clearly being manifested. Now, I want your ears. I want you to listen. I want you to hear me now. Are we to suppose that those things happened in 1965 when in reality they have already happened in 2019? And I can tell you for a fact that these things are going to mushroom in 2020. They're going to be there. The Democratic Party... Now, hang on. Not everybody in the Democratic Party, but the Democratic Party is being led by their Democrats in a way, my dear friends, I've never heard of before in my life. They're a bunch of communists. They're a bunch of socialists. And they're out to take this nation of ours and this country that God has given to us and turn it into a nightmare. That's happening now, and it's continuing into 2020. Protests, violence, hatred for law enforcement. The person who really wears a policeman's uniform is putting himself in gross danger because day after day we hear of killings going on, but especially police officers are having to dodge to keep from being killed, and many of them are having to face funerals that they never dreamed about. That's happening now. You don't call them police officers anymore. You call them a bunch of dirty pigs. My Lord, folk, 2020. Pedophilia, listen to me. Pedophilia, perversion, and sodomites are on the increase even among presidential candidates and preachers. And preachers, may God have mercy on us. That's what we have generated into. 1965 looks like a paradise compared to some of the things that we're faced today. And church attendance has become optional. Now, I'm not preaching on church attendance today, but just because it came to my mind, I ought to say a word about it. I've never seen a time when people neglect their church at any and every time they get an opportunity to do so. I'm thankful for the few. I'm thankful for those who believe that the church is God's house and always should hold a place of priority. But my dear friends, I'm telling you, one of the greatest temptations we have today is just make the church optional. We can attend if we want to. We don't have to. Other things are more important. And that's where we are in 2020. Yet, in this year of 2020, we can joyfully enter in knowing that we have the promise of His presence. Regardless, we have the promise of His presence. And may I say to you this morning, He has promised His presence in many different ways. Number one, He's promised us His presence when we worship. When we worship, He has promised to us His presence. There is in Matthew chapter number 18 a precious verse and promise of Scripture. In Matthew chapter number 18, let me read it for you. Beginning with verse 19, again I say unto you, that is, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And verse 20 says, for where two or three, not 2 or 3,000, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, don't take those two verses out of context. If you do, you're going to hurt yourself. The safest thing to do is when you interpret scriptures, take it in consideration of the context in which it is. He's talking about the church there. He's not talking about two people that are going hunting or going ice, whatever, and they just decide out there on the ice they're going to have a little prayer meeting. God's going to hear them. No, He's talking about people in the church who get together. Two people in the church, if they agree on anything as touching God's will, it shall be done. And also where two or three people are gathered in my name, He's talking about the church there. If the attendance were to get down even to as low as 2 and 3 people, God says, if you meet in my name to worship, I'll meet with you. I'll be in your presence. When we worship, we have no idea of knowing all the things that are going to take place in 2020, but I can assure you this, that our church may suffer. Other churches may suffer. We may suffer financial setbacks. I don't know. We may even lose members for the stand that we take. But I tell you, if we meet in the Lord Jesus' name, He has promised us His presence. We've met today in His name. And I claim the promise. He's here. He's here. And dear friend, if He's here, what do we lack in that God cannot supply? So He's with us when we worship. You know, in the 20th chapter of John, and this too is a church context, in verses 19 through 22, there were 10 men that met in His name. This was after the resurrection. Now, I'm sure that the church room that they met in was not air-conditioned. It probably wasn't carpeted. But He appeared and breathed on them His presence. And how they rejoiced that though their number was small, God met with them. And that was the important thing. That was the important thing. So He will be with us, and He's promised us His presence when we meet to worship. And when we meet, we ought to worship. We ought to worship when we meet. Absolutely. But not only when we worship. He'll be with us when we are tempted. Now, if you have not been tempted in 2019, get ready for it. It'll happen in 2020. You're going to be tempted. The Bible gives us a promise in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. By stating this, there hath no temptation taken you, but is common to man. But God will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now that way of escape is none other than the Lord Himself. I have no way of proving this next statement, But I somehow believe it could have happened this way. David had no earthly idea the day before that within 24 hours he would take another man's wife and he would take another man's life. Because temptation doesn't always knock on your door and say, get ready, I'll be there in an hour and a half. It happens that quickly. And sometimes we see things we ought not to see. And sometimes we do things we ought not to do. And whenever those things are transgressing the law of God, it is sin. And whenever sin enters, we all will be defeated every time. But God says that whenever we are tempted, we have a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. That way of escape is the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, on one occasion, Paul was really perplexed and depressed because there were some things that were continually knocking him down. He said that the blows were coming from Satan. And he beseeched the Lord that the Lord would take away that blow. But God did not see fit to do that. He said, now, Lord, I approached you once. I'm going to approach you again. I pray that you'll take this temptation or whatever it may have been for Paul. Take it away. And God would not take it away. He said, now, Lord, I've been to you one time about it. I've been to you two times about it. Now I'm coming to you the third time. Would you please take this temptation away? And the Lord said, there's something more important than me taking it away. It is giving you the grace to live through it. And I'm telling you, my dear friends, it takes grace to face the assaults of Satan today. The things he throws at us today, unexpected things, and they come in unexpected times. But when it happens, my dear friend, you'll never be alone. You're trusting the Lord to be present and to give you the victory. And his presence is so important when we are tempted. Now, sometimes, and quite often, it's easy to yield. But we sing a song not too often in this church. It's in our hymn book, I believe. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. God help us in hours of temptation in 2020. We can look to the Lord that his presence is great enough and big enough and sufficient enough to be with us in our hour of need. We will be tempted, yes, but we don't have to do what Satan wants us to do. We must do what God wants us to do. When we're tempted, I'll be with you. Not only that, but when we face trouble. When we face trouble, he's promised to be with us. There are so many references that I could give you. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 46, verse 1. And you probably know this and have memorized it. The Bible says God is our refuge. Notice God is, not God was, not God will be, but God is. God is our refuge and strength. Now this is the part. A very present help in trouble. When trouble comes, God will be with his children. He will make his presence known. And he's a present help in time of trouble. There is another passage in Psalm. I'm going to ask you to turn to it. I want to spend a little bit of time reading it for your hearing. But it's Psalm 27. If you're in Psalm, just go backward to Psalm number 27. We're talking about that God is present in time of trouble, when troubles come our way. Psalm number 27. The Lord is my light. Now listen, just think about this as we read it. Hear it, and may God use it to give us comfort in our heart in times of trouble. The Lord is my light. and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifice of joy. I will sing, yea, I'll sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mama forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The presence of the Lord when we have to face trouble. And this trouble may be sickness. This trouble may be... Sickness has a way to slow you down, doesn't it? Somehow or another you have to call and cancel your appointments. Somehow or another you have to change your direction. Sometimes you have to just wonder what's happening to me. Sickness comes along sometimes. It involves sorrows. It involves the death of some loved one. If you've been spared this year of 2019 by not having a loved one taken in death, don't count on that to be the rule in 2020. It may be that death will knock on your door and death will knock on my door. We don't invite it. We don't think favorably of it. But it may happen. It may happen. Accidents, tragedy. Nonetheless, regardless of what comes our way in the way of trouble, he has promised us his presence. I will be there. You can count on him. You can count on him. You can count on him. He'll be there. He will be with us, and he's given the promise of his presence when we take a stand. Taking a stand. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 8 and 19. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 8 and 19. Jeremiah chapter 1. The Lord called Jeremiah to preach when he was but in his mother's womb, before he was ever born, before he was ever conceived. God called him to preach. And Jeremiah in verse 6 answers that. He said, but said I, Lord God, I can't speak. I'm just a child. I can't do that. But notice God didn't say it's going to be honey and syrup and pay and pie and cake. No, you're going to have a tough time. Look at verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. In my preaching experience, there have been some places I had to leave. Some churches I had to leave. Because the people would not receive the word of God. They would not, I said not, could not, I said they would not receive the word of God. And it is a terrible time. Sometimes people in the church get their feelings hurt. When you hear something from this pulpit, give it a little time. Will you do that? And when you give it a little time, open up your Bible and follow along. Are we preaching scripture? Is that so? There's a reason why every church ought to have a back door. Are you listening to me? Oh, we got to have a front door. Yeah, we need a back door too. Because from time to time, there are going to be sometimes maybe a member gets their feelings a little bit flustered and they don't like what the preacher said and they don't like this. And boy, if I was over there, this is what I would do. I know all those things. I've heard them all my life. When trouble comes, may God help you to stand. Not for Dan Cozart. You stand for the Word of God. Are you listening to me? You stand for the Word of God. And he said, don't be afraid of their faces. I'm not going to tell you where. But I've had members of my church, not this church. I've had members of my church to scowl, openly scowl at me when I preached with this preacher, move me if you can, philosophy. You try to preach to that. You try to sing to that. When folks are making fun of you and saying, we don't like you, we don't want you, why don't you just die? You know? Jeremiah, this is not going to be easy. They're not going to give you a raise every week. Get ready for this. They're going to make fun of you. You don't be afraid of their faces. And I guess he could say to the congregation, don't be afraid of the preacher's face. Maybe that'd be another application we could make. But I've been there. Be not afraid of their faces. Why? For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And in that same passage, verse number 19, they shall fight against thee. They shall not prevail against thee. Why is that so? For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. We take a stand. And don't be like, who was it that was on the wall? Humpty Dumpty. And he had a great fall. He should not have been straddling that wall to start off with. Take a stand for something. If it's not anything but dentine chewing gum, take a stand against something. Don't be somebody saying, oh, I just think everything's all right and everything's... No, everything's not all right. There's some things that are just as wrong as they can be because God tells you that they're wrong. But you can know this, that when we take a stand, rest assured of it, the world gets stirred up. Mostly the religious world. Nevertheless, in the midst of persecution, he has promised his presence. By the way, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, why is it that every time the music begins, you ought to be bowing down and worshiping that image out of the desert? They said, we're not going to worship the image. But don't you understand that Nebuchadnezzar said, those that don't worship the image, he's going to throw in a furnace of fire. And they said, it makes no difference whether he throws us in the fire or not. We're not going to do that. So we had them thrown into the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar had that furnace opened up and he looked down. He said, did we not cast three men into the fire? Now, one, two, three, four. There's a fourth man down there. And the fourth is like the Son of God. Have you ever wondered why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't burn? They didn't even smell like smoke when they came out. You know why? Because the fourth man took the flames in his own body. The fourth man took the punishment in his own body. And therefore, they didn't have to face it. Isn't that good? That's what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. He took your punishment and my punishment, and he became sin for us who knew no sin. When you take a stand, he said, I'll be with you. And lastly, when we come to death. Psalm 23, verse 4. 23rd Psalm, perhaps, is one of our favorites, is it not? You hear it quite frequently and should, because it is such a sweet, precious psalm indeed. In the 23rd Psalm, the Bible says this in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is that so? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why is it that a believer, such as Stephen, who was having his life taken out from him by the stones that hit his body, he knew he was dying and he knew that death would come very quickly, still was so optimistic, I see the Son of Man standing at the Father's right hand. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lay not this sin to their... And then others, when they die, are cursing God for the hard time they've had. What makes the difference? Thou art with me. Now, dear friend, listen. I don't know of anything any more comforting than to know that when it comes time for me to die, comes time for you to die, you'll never have to die alone. You'll never have to die alone. He will be with you. Be with you. So if it comes in 2020, that's all right. If it doesn't come in 2020, that'll be all right, because he's going to be with us. The promise of his presence. His presence is so precious. His presence is so near, and his presence is so dear. Could we close out this old year with these two verses? One is the text we read for you, but I'm going to compare it with verse 5 in Joshua 1 and verse 9, and then we'll go home. But I hope you'll take this with you. Look in Joshua 1, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And verse 9, our text. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, be neither dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I hope you'll hang on to that and exercise faith in the Lord, who will never leave you nor forsake you if you know him. So, what about 2020? I hope the Lord comes back before 2020. I do. Yeah, that'd just be glorious. But wouldn't that be a wonderful year for him to come back? My, my. But we know he's coming back. It might be and it may not be in 2020, but we know this. He's going to be with us. He's going to be with us. Regardless of what happened, he's going to be with us. We claim that. By faith, we can get comfort from that. Let's stand, please, for prayer.